سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم، حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله رب العالمین و به نستعین، والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین، حبیب قلوبنا و طبیب نفوسنا، رحمت للعالمین، بالقاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، والصلاة والسلام على اهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على اعدائهم اجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد. اما بعد، السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe, the one who is constant, the one who does not change, and the one who is not in motion. The rest that exists in this universe is in motion, and it's in a constant state of change. There's nothing in this universe that's not in motion and not changing. Even if something seems to be in a state of rest, it's not in a state of rest. It's constantly changing and moving. The only being that's not constantly changing or moving is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think about yourself, you're also changing and moving constantly. Even when you sleep, you're moving and changing. If you can come to that idea which I'm trying to explain, you will understand that this change that you and I are afraid of is something which is going to happen whether we are afraid of it or not. Whether you're afraid of becoming religious, whether you're afraid of becoming more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you're afraid of coming to the center, whether you're afraid of moving close to Mawlana, whether you're afraid of failing your exam, whether you're afraid of getting out of any of your comfort zones, that you want to keep yourself in that same state constant, you will not be able to do it. When you understand that you are constantly moving and changing, then you are not going to be afraid of any change, because that is the way that you and I have been created, or the whole universe has been created that way. This change is going to be happening all the time. All you can decide and I can decide is which direction this change is going to go. So what we have as a choice is that we can decide whether we want that change to be positive. If we do not change towards the positive, guess what's going to happen? What kind of change is still going to happen? Negative. Meaning the change is going to happen. If you decide to keep it in the positive directions, it's going to go that way. If you slow down, if you decide not to go in the positive direction, it's still going to happen. But then it will be in the opposite direction. If we're able to understand that, then we know that we know what? No, it's okay.
Next question.
And the reason why I stop is for your minds to process the information. If we understand that we're constantly changing, what do we understand from this? Like how our lifestyle should be. Something which is in constant motion, can it rest? No. Do you like rest?
Yes.
Yes. Do you like to sleep 6 to 8 hours?
Yes. Yes. I like to sleep from 10 to 100 hours.
10 to 12 hours. Even if you are sleeping, you're constantly in a state of change. You never rest. The only thing that is in a state of rest and constant is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Are you changing right now?
Yes.
Whether you hope or you decide to change or not, you are changing. Are you moving right now?
Yes.
You are. It's better not to move while you're listening, but even if you stay, you know, even if you go to sleep, which a few of you will do, you're still in a state of movement. Okay? That is the differentiation between creation and creator. Creator does not go through any changes. In Creator, there is no movement. He was just the same as He was before anything was created, and He's going to be the same as after everything is done. Okay? These emotions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say that, you know, He gets happy and then He gets upset. This happiness and being upset is a change or not?
Yeah.
Right? You go through an emotion of happiness and then your state changes into the emotion of sadness or being upset. Right? So you have verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'm happy, I love those individuals. And then He says, I am mad and upset with those individuals. Right? You also say that we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be happy with us. Right? We don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be upset with us. We don't want Him to be angry with us. This happiness and angry actually is there for us to be able to understand something that we can grasp our mind on. The actual state of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change. Yesterday, we started off telling you the reason, well, a few reasons why we have started to talk about the concept of test. Because what you're going to be tested on is your ideology. And in your ideology, there is one thing that we hardly put any emphasis on, and that is Tawheed. If you're able to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did we say yesterday? If you're able, oh, most of you are not here, sorry.
Salawat.
Allahumma salli.
You were still changing, you were still in motion, but you're not changing in motion here. Right? Yesterday we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who He is versus what He should be. When we go through trying to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best road that we can take in which we can get a lot of deep understanding and knowledge is understanding the concept of what a God should be, not what He is. Because only one being knows who He is, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say that He's everywhere and He's nowhere, what happens to us? You say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere. Okay, so I understand that everywhere means everywhere. Then you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nowhere. What happens to you? No, what happens to you is that your mind goes, and then what? Everywhere and then nowhere. Right?
He's everywhere but no one place.
He's everywhere but no one place. So He's in every single place. Right. So if we can find Him in one place, or we can find Him in every single place, did we not confine Him? We did. So if something can confine God, it's not my God. Right? God cannot be confined. If you confine something, or if you have an image of something, or your mind says that I can understand Him completely, that cannot be God. According to Imam Masumin Al-Amsam, they've said this is your own creation. And what people have done is that they've created their own gods. By creating their own gods, they tend to think that they understand that God because this is their own creation. The Hindus have created their gods, right? The Christians, they have created their God. The Jews have created their God. Do you think Muslims have not created their God? Yeah, Muslims have created their gods. We said to you that there is no godless person on this earth. Everybody has a God. Right? Okay. So, because now today and tomorrow is the last days that we're going to be with you. It's only a couple of hours left. So, this is a phone, which is means. If it becomes the end, what is it? What is it?
A God.
A God, right. So who created this God? I did. Where did I create Him?
Right now.
In my mind.
You know everything.
Yeah. Right. That too.
You can control it.
Right. You can control it. But anytime when means become your end, it becomes God. You as a Muslim, if you make anything as means as your end, it becomes your God. If a Christian makes anything that is means its end, it becomes the God, right? His God or her God. Same thing with Hindus and same thing with Sikh. Even your body, what is it supposed to be? Means, not God. But if your body becomes your end, then what happens? Then your body is God. And you will spend your whole life maintaining this God. Job is means, it can become a God. Have you not seen those individuals that have made their lowly desires as their gods? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, basically the meaning of that particular verse is, have you not seen those individuals that make their lowly desires their gods? One of the concepts that we need to understand that there is one thing about philosophy and logic and, you know, bringing proofs about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other is in our actions. You can have an individual who understands the concept that God is supposed to be constant, that there should be no change and is not confined in anything. But that same person who understands that has made the phone their God. Right? What other gods have we made? You guys remember? Money is a big god. Very big god. Money has a lot of abds, a lot of slaves. What about dunya? Does anybody remember the definition of dunya? What is it? No. What was the definition of dunya that we gave you? Dunya is everything that... let's go with the reverse. You know how the concept is between worldly thing and religious thing? So, would you classify this as a worldly thing? Say?
Yes.
You would? It's not. If I had money, I could, I do have money, but it's somewhere... If you can recite a loud salawat, I'll bring out a god from my pocket. A little bit louder salawat. So that... Right, so... This is also God, right? For many people, this is God. You know, because of this God, Karbala happened?
Oh, yes.
The people who killed Imam Hussain, salatu wasalam, They were submitting to this god.
It's a paper god.
It is, yeah.
And people.
People made this, right? People made this. Okay. So, would you classify this to be worldly?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Can your eyes see this?
Yes.
If your eyes can see this, then it is not worldly. The world that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in traditions and also the rest of the Imam Masumin alayhi salam that have made it, that have said that it is, you know, the worst thing, Imam Ali describes it as an old woman with leprosy holding the intestines of a pig. An old woman with leprosy. Leprosy is where your skin dissolves and it gives like a really bad smell and it just melts away. And in her hand is the intestines of a pig. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says, this is what dunya is. But this particular dunya that Imam Ali alayhi salam is describing actually does not, you cannot see it with these eyes. Where you see that, something which actually exists inside. Okay? So this is actually a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that your eyes can see is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With me? Anything that you can see is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you see me?
Yes.
Where am I? Sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you see this?
Yes. It's here.
Right? It's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that your eyes can see, you put this in your mind as a definition of what is not dunya. Anything that your eyes can see is not dunya. What your eyes cannot see exists inside of you. Okay? So this you can see, right? I forgot to look at your expressions, but you know that clinching feeling that you had? That was the attachment to this. This attachment that you had did not exist outside. That attachment existed inside of you. The people who have a discussion between what is worldly and what is religious, they need to first define what is a dunya and they need to define what is religion. Where we are coming up to in the world today, right now, is the challenge that you and I are going to face. They're going to ask you, are you a secular person or are you a person who's a religious person? Are you a person who's going to live your life according to religion or are you going to live your life according to what we are going to tell you? There are going to be certificates given in Europe to those imams, to those maulanas who are going to be certified that they are not going to say anything that is going to be something which they do not want to be said. They will have a license. They will be certified. They will have to show their license that I am certified by the government that I can go and sit down on the minbar or on the pulpit and I can deliver a speech. If they do not have the certificate or a license, that these individuals will not be allowed to stand in front of people to tell them about religion or sit down on the pulpit. We need to wake up as individuals, as community, that the challenges that we're going to be facing now is going to be to the point where you would have to decide whether you want to say Allah or not. Whether you're willing to say Allahu Akbar or not. Whether you're willing to have a, thank you, whether you're willing to have a beard on your face or not, whether you're willing to wear the dress of Islam or not. They're going to challenge your ideology by saying, you guys who do not understand what the world is, because your understanding of world means that we need to go back to the age of horses and camels. Your definition of world makes a laptop or a PC or a iPad or a PS4 or any of the technological advancements as something which is worldly, which your imam is saying it is as ugly as an old woman with leprosy holding the intestines of pig. We will not be able to answer. If the chain of information that we have received from infallibles, from Masumin alayhi salam, all the way to the Holy Prophet, we have all of the answers. And you and I would have to give those answers to those individuals who are going to challenge your ideology. What we've been talking about for the last 8 or 9 hours is for you to have your direction right, in that direction where you can go, do put some effort in, do some research, get to that information that you can tell. Just this definition that I gave you of the world, look how your whole perception is going to change. When you look at a Lamborghini, is that worldly or is that the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alhamdulillah. Where is that world that Imam Ali al-Sattusam says, an old woman with leprosy holding the intestines of a pig? Where is that world?
Inside.
You can't see it. The person driving the Lamborghini thinking, you know, I have a Lamborghini and you do not. And look how much money I have and I'm able to, you know, zoom by and I've got like, you know, 800 horses and you have only 200 horses and, you know, I have this status that you do not have. All of that is dunya. And that can be even to the point if you want your shoelace to be better than the other individual, you're a worldly person. If you want hijab to be better than the other sister's hijab, or you're attached to that one color and you cannot buy any other color, that's also world. When you go and you want to buy a phone and you say, I want to only buy that phone that when people see it in my hands, they say, whoa, that's the latest one, that is dunya. When you have a choice between PS4 and PS3 and you say, I'm going to buy PS4 because all of my other my friends have PS4, that is dunya. When a person comes and sits down on the pulpit to say that I'm going to deliver that speech where everybody is going to be stunned and they're going to be saying, what a great alim that person is, it's dunya. When a person writes a book about religion and wants to propagate and go and, you know, just distribute it and so that their name can be known all over the world, that's dunya. When on your Facebook you are happy by seeing 1,000 people who like you, that's dunya. That is dunya. It exists inside of you and you are the creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only created the signs that take you towards Him. He did not create that ugliness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most beautiful. The ultimate beauty is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that has beauty is through that. And if you just look at creation without our ugliness, everything is beautiful. The only reason why the world becomes ugly and oppressive is because of you and I. Why are there 1 billion people who cannot afford one time meal? Why are they living on $1 a day? Who did that? The ones who use the 70% of the natural resources of the world and they are only 25% of the population of the world. When you go and buy the Nike symbol because you just have to have that or the Reebok symbol or, you know, what other gods are there? Jordan is Nike, right?
No.
Jordan is different, yeah. Jordan, like, yeah, those, you're right. Adidas. Yeah. What other, come on, you guys, you know your gods, come on.
Under Armour.
Yeah, that's a big god. Under Armour really goes well. Puma, yeah, that's kind of an old god. Adidas, I already said Adidas. Right? Giorgio Armani, Gucci. I'm trying my very best right now. It's tough. Gucci, Armani, I don't know that God.
John Cena.
Yeah. So, that's dunya. But if you look at just the jersey, that's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the attachment to that brand is what? Dunya. If you can detach yourself from all of that and look at them as means and not your end, you can utilize anything that is a sign of Allah. You can utilize anything that's a sign of Allah. Because those signs are created so that you can utilize to get to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the power, the wisdom, the knowledge to man to be able to make the tools necessary as means so that you can understand the greatness of the might and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at the huge, massive, tall buildings, it should remind you the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave the knowledge to a human being to be able to utilize the raw material to make such a huge tower. But when the tower is made and the person says, I made it, that's dunya. With me? So whatever now your eyes are going to see, you're not going to say this is dunya. And what is religious?
See what you can see.
Religion is actually, it starts off with your view on the world. It starts off from there. What do you see the world as? If you see the world as your end, then that person, even if they're saying La ilaha illallah, they're not truthful in their statement. They're not truthful in their statement. The difference between a mu'min and a kafir is, a mu'min looks at everything as means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and kafir looks at them as their end. That's the difference. So now look at, we can still exist in this world, and I still have that God crumbled up, I'll fix it, don't worry. It's just for the distraction part, so that you can judge yourself where you are. Right? What about Quran? What is it? See? What is Quran? I know. Sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did we say Quran is? Means. Quran is means. If Quran becomes your end, then what?
God.
Then Quran becomes God. And you know what people will do? They'll say like, you know, I have to memorize the whole Quran. They memorize the whole Quran. You know what now I have to do? Participate in the competition so that my voice and my memory can be shown to people. So that I can have the title of a Hafiz right next to me. So that, you know, I can recite Quran in a way that everybody will look at me and say, wow, mashallah, what a person is reciting the Quran as. Now what has Quran become? What has Quran become? God. Quran was supposed to be means so that you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better. So that by that better understanding you look at the world differently. What is religion? What is religion? Just religion. What is religion?
Means.
What is means for? Religion is means for you to be able to decide when you are tested which road to take. What we had said is that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is means. This is what we've been talking about. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is means. These are means by which you and I are going to be tested so that our potential can be known to us and to others. By utilizing these tests, we are able to gain iman. By the test that we fail, we understand what is the quantity of iman. By passing those tests, we understand what is the strength of our iman. And all of this iman is going to take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we are going to meet our end. Was this clear for you? Was this clear? So actually religion is not just ideology. Religion is not something that you will find in the books or in madrasas or in, you know, colleges or universities or anything. Religion is not that. Religion is what is the way of your life. That will define what religion you have. Living in a way, your life where means are your end, where Gucci, Armani, Louis Vuitton, Samsung, iPhone, all of that is actually your end, your goal, then this is your religion. Your religion doesn't have one God, it has?
Many.
So we said, the way to go about finding out about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He should be. He should not be an iPhone. Are you with me? He should not be an iPhone. He should not be Samsung. He should not be Armani. He should not be Gucci. He should not be money. He should not be all the bling blang. He should not be any diamonds. He should not be any gold. He should not be any silver. He should not be a Lamborghini. He should not be a massive house. It should not be fame. It should not be how many likes you have on Facebook. It should not be any of that. What he should be the ultimate beauty where the mind looks at it, cannot find a fault, and the heart wants to get close to it. That's the definition of a God. Then when you are in the presence of him, your mind cannot find a fault, and your heart wants to get close. He is the ultimate beauty. Okay, so I'll give you an easier way. Okay? The easiest way that I know personally, and it has been said in the traditions as well, من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. So whoever understands themselves will understand their Lord, or whoever understands himself or herself will understand himself, his or her Rab, God. Okay. Do you understand yourself? Forget about big logical arguments and philosophy and logic and everything else. You know, we're putting this on the side right now. Simple question. Do you know yourself? Whatever you know yourself to be, that is your God. من عرف نفسه فقد عرف ربه. Whoever understands himself understands his Lord. The knowledge of self is directly related to the knowledge of Lord. Whatever your knowledge of self is going to be, that is the knowledge of Lord that you have. With me? Do you know yourself? Do you know who you are? To be or not to be? Do you know who you are? I told you what you are. You have the weakest body, the weakest body of an animal, and you have the strongest entity in the creation as the soul. And in between is the fight that you and I are fighting. Okay. Do you understand the body? It's part of your lowest level of existence. Do you understand your body? See? Do you understand your body? You do? Do you know how your eyes work? Do you know how your nose works? Do you know how your ears work? It's your body, right? It's your lowest level of existence. Do you know that? No. Who knows it? I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. But who knows your lowest level of existence? Who knows it? Come on, this is an easy question. I know a little bit. Who knows about your body?
Yourself.
Who knows about your body?
Yourself.
When you get sick, who do you go to?
Mom and dad.
Mom and dad.
They take care of you.
They do. That's what you do right now. And then when your mom and dad cannot figure out, then they go to the
doctor.
That's right. They have a lot of experience, but they don't know your body exactly. So you still have to go to the doctors. Alhamdulillah. Although this advice goes for me too. So when somebody wants to find out about their body, they don't know about their body. They have to go to the doctor. Right? When the doctor wants to find out about his other level of existence, the highest level of existence, which is the soul, the most powerful creation in the whole universe, who does he go to? Who would the doctor have to go to?
Dollars.
This knowledge.
They would have to go to somebody who's the doctor of the souls. Who's the doctor of the souls? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. But who's the doctor of the souls? The doctors of the souls that we have today is Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam. So we have, we say, Tabibe Qulubina, but we say about the Holy Prophet that he is the doctor of our hearts. Right? Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam is the doctor of the soul. And because you do not have access to the doctor of the soul, now who do you have to go to? What did this brother say?
Fear.
Who do you have to go to?
Allah.
Your mom and dad. We have two types of fathers. One is the father that takes care of your body, and the other father is the one who takes care of your soul. The teachers, and if there are any teachers, you are supposed to be the doctors of the soul. Tarbiyat of nafs is in the hands of the teacher. It's not just the mind. So the Holy Prophet is the father of the whole nation. Imam Ali alayhi salam is the father of the whole nation. Imam Masumin alayhi salam are fathers of the whole nation. And those ulama that have the criteria defined by Imam Zaman alayhi salam are the fathers of the nation. So you need to go to them and find out about your soul. Like, look at it. The body, ourselves, we don't know even like 1%, 10%. So this is also another motivation. You should go and find out what your body is. Okay, it's a good idea to study the sciences, to figure out in biology, in chemistry, study those sciences, physics, you know, because you have the right, because those are going to lead you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become the best of the best in all of these sciences. There should be nobody better than you in physics, because you as a mu'min, as a believer who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has the first right to be able to understand what physics is and what biology is and what chemistry is and what all the other sciences are. You have the first right. Because you are going to take physics knowledge and chemistry knowledge towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A kafir learns it, makes it its end. A mu'min learns it, makes it as means to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take it. So now let's discuss what this nafs is. Okay? It is a hard topic. It shouldn't be hard because every one of you have it. I have it, you have it. Yeah? Okay, so I'll try my very best if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and He gives us the opportunity to be able to understand. So, we're talking about the soul now, okay? Although, I'm talking about myself now, okay? So my highest level. My highest level, that is my soul, what did we say, is given to us, and that soul is whose soul? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's soul. Right? Does that mean that because we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's soul, so now that we become God? No, right? This Ruhi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is that He associated Himself to it. Like you have Khamenei, you have Khomeini, right? This Ya that is in the end tells you where they're from. Okay? Like for example, my last name is? It's okay if you don't know.
Say it.
A lot of people think my name is Agha, but it's not. So, my last name is Radhawi. This ya is telling you that I am associated with Imam Radha alayhi salatu wasalam. This Ya. Or Naqvi or Zaidi or Abdi and so forth. This Ya is telling you that you are related. Right? That you have a connection. Alright? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ruhi, He's saying that this soul is connected to me. And this Ya and Nisbah that I've shown is of association of my love. And the other is of the potential that I've given to you. Meaning what? You in all of the creation are the only creation that has the capacity to become the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth. So what is the potential of the soul? Bilquwa, in potential, the soul has to be able to become the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has the potential to acquire all of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With me? With me, right? We're going like 2 plus 2 and so forth. So, anytime you go away, I can see you. And you, not the soul, but you the body. I can see you. Okay? So the body, the knowledge of that body is with the doctor. The knowledge of the soul is with the doctor of the soul. What is the soul has the potential of?
Being the representative.
Being the representative of Allah. What does the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has? The qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever has the most amount of qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the highest degree was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. After him, all of his representatives were also the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they were the representative of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and anyone who is the representative of the Holy Prophet automatically becomes what? A representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this clear?
Yes?
Like if I tell you, go outside, you are my representative, go tell, you know, that brother, that Maulana is saying such and such. And if he asks you, tell him I sent you. Right? So being a representative, if I tell the brother to go outside and represent me, right? And whoever I am representing of, then automatically he becomes a representative of that. Clear? Alright. Now I'm going to give you how you can find out about your soul. Are you merciful?
Yes. Maybe.
Are you forgiving?
Maybe.
Are you generous?
Maybe.
Are you knowledgeable?
Maybe.
Do you love?
Maybe.
Yes.
Okay. It's very important.
Yes. Love is very important. Do you have iman?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Can you give sustenance to somebody?
Maybe.
And if I was to count all of the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find that some of them or all of them, to a certain degree, you have it too. Are you with me? Every time you go away from those qualities, now you become the representative of shaitan. As long as you have mercy, as long as you have forgiveness, as long as you have love, as long as you have iman, as long as you have those qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you go home and take a look at those 99 names. As long as you display those qualities, right? You're the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anytime somebody comes and says, I'm sorry, and you say, I'm not going to forgive you because you made a mistake. How dare you defy me? Yeah. That is not Allah's mother. Somebody goes to him, knocks on his door, says to Allah's mother, please forgive me, I've sinned. He says, okay, I forgive you. What would Shaitan do? Shaitan is not going to forgive. He hasn't forgiven Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He's taking revenge of that day till today. And he will keep on taking the revenge till the end of time when Imam Izzam alayhi salatu wasalam comes and his rule finishes. Anytime you go away from these qualities, now you are a representative of shaitan. And anytime you have these qualities and you display them with your family, with others, you are the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have jealousy, who has the trait of jealousy? Not Allah. Who has the trait of jealousy? Just bear with me and we're done. Who has the trait of jealousy?
Shaitan.
Who has the trait of arrogance?
Shaitan.
Who does not want to forgive?
Shaitan.
Who is arrogant?
Shaitan.
Who likes to hurt others?
Shaitan.
Who likes to say my?
Shaitan.
So you see, you are now finding about yourself. And the more you find, if I find that I'm forgiving, guess what? What did I just found out? That the Creator who created me also is forgiving. What are you with me? Once I find out that I'm forgiving, I know for a fact, without any doubt, that the Creator who has created me is also forgiving. Because if He was not forgiving, how can I be forgiving? If He is not generous, how can I be generous? When I understand that the soul that He has given to me is actually to become His representative, then whatever qualities the representative has also is in the qualities the one who is representing. You see how my knowledge of myself is now correlating with the knowledge of my Lord? You can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have the book of His knowledge in you. That's your nafs. When you find mercy on someone, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I can be that merciful to somebody, how merciful would He be? If I'm not willing to forgive this person, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be willing to forgive me. If I'm not willing to go and help somebody out who's ill, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not help me when I am ill. If I'm not willing to give money to somebody to help them out, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give me money to help somebody out. If I'm not willing to love the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created without any label of creed, religion or color, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become that way with me. The more you go this way, the more you learn about yourself and the more you learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you can identify those things that are wrong in you. Then you go to the doctor of the soul, you say, you know, I have jealousy, can you help me out? And the doctor of the soul will tell you, okay, I'll tell you how to get rid of jealousy. You know how to get rid of jealousy? The 21 days. Yeah, I'm amazed by my little brothers. You know, I'm amazed by them. And they are our future, so we're good. Recite a loud salawat, please. So the 21 days formula was that if you find out that you have jealousy, you wake up in the morning, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have jealousy all day, I will be careful not to be jealous. All day you try to be careful not to be jealous. At night you tell me whether you were jealous or not. If you were not jealous, you say Alhamdulillah one day. Second day you say the same thing. You get up in the morning, you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am jealous. I'm going to try not to be jealous all day. You try all day not to be jealous. At night you count. And you see that you have been jealous. Now the clock goes back to zero. Even if it's on the 20th day, you have to go back to zero. And the more you get rid of this jealousy and arrogance and greed and this world that we have created inside that is based on three things: greed, jealousy, and arrogance. The world I've created that Imam Ali al-Assalam says it is as is uglier than an old woman with leprosy holding the intestines of the pig is created by jealousy, arrogance and greed. And what my eyes can see is created by the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see the tree, it's a sign of the quality of knowledge and power and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see these glasses, You see the sign of the power, the knowledge and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of His creation, He has created with His power, knowledge and wisdom. Right? With me? So let's figure out what your world is made up of. Right? What is your world made up of? Inside world. I will give this $100 to anybody who is willing to, for example, It's okay. Maybe it was a test. It's okay. I'll give this $100 to somebody who would be willing not to get up for Fajr in the morning. Whoever is not willing to wake up for Fajr in the morning can come up and claim their prize. This is the thing, like if somebody came out in the morning and handed you $100 bill every time you got up for Fajr, guess how many people will miss their Fajr? Or let's say Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, $500 a day, you don't need to work. A lot of people earn $500 in a day, and some earn it in an hour, but, and if they said, if you were to cry in that two rakat namaz and you were khuzu and khashi and humility and you were, you know, just broke down, I'll give you $1,000. If all of this is still motivating us, then the world that we created is on arrogance, greed and jealousy. The enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were in Karbala, they created their world inside on arrogance, jealousy and greed. Ibn Ziyad, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, was the embodiment of these three. Yazid, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, was the embodiment of these three. Shimr was the embodiment of these three. The people in Kufa, if they were not the embodiment of all three, they were embodiment of at least one. The people in Medina were the same. The people in Makkah were the same. But the ones who stood with Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, truly their God, their Lord was no one but Allah. No amount of money, no amount of power, nothing in the world was enough for them to leave Imam Hussain. If you and I don't go through the test and do not change the world that we've created inside, if it's still based on greed, jealousy and arrogance, I have news for myself and you. When the Imam of the time comes, we will not be standing with him, we will be standing against him. If you're not willing to sacrifice to do your obligations today, you will not be willing to sacrifice to be obliged to the Imam of the time. If you cannot stand for righteousness and truth and fairness today, you will not be able to stand that day. If your ideology is that weak that a wind of this world comes and, you know, drops your ideology, if you're still stuck choosing between religion and the world, I have news for myself and you, we will not be there. Whatever that you do in your life is going to matter because you're in a constant state of change. You were one person when you walked into this door, and now you're another person. When you walk out, you'll be another person. When you go home, you'll be another person. When you are with your wife, you'll be another person. When you are with your sons or daughters, you'll be another person. When you are with your brothers, you'll be a different person. When you go to work tomorrow, you'll be a different person. When you listen to the masaib of Imam Hussain, you'll be a different person. But in all of these changes, you can have one constant. Direct this change towards that constant. direct this change towards the constant, and that constant is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when you are here, you are changing. You've directed that change towards Allah. When you go home to your wife, you've directed that change towards Allah. When you see your daughter and your sons, direct that change towards Allah. You're still going to change. And you're still going to have a direction. You're still going to represent. But who are you going to represent? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy or the jealousy of shaitan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness or the arrogance of shaitan? You're still going to represent. Your gods are the ones that you and I made. Let's finish them. They're our creation. If I've created something, I can finish it. Your thoughts are your creation, you can finish them. All of the obsessive compulsive behavior or any of the diseases of the soul, you have the solution, you can change. You want to be happy right now, you can be happy right now. You want to be sad right now, you can be sad right now. It's your choice. Take the power back from the iPhone and from the Samsung and money. It's okay. Take it back from it. Take the power back. You know, we've given all of these, distributed all of this power, take it back. They're just means. One means goes, another one comes. And the God that I believe in is the creator of all of the means. He has no shortage of creating means. And if he wants to act, he doesn't even need means. He can reverse the means that were supposed to burn a body, he can turn them into flowers. Hazrat Ibrahim ﷺ going in the air, falling into that fire, the fire was supposed to burn. It was there for miles. The birds could not fly. Hazrat Jibreel ﷺ comes to him, says, "Hold my hand." Say, "You are a means. I don't want your hand." So then ask for dua. Dua is a means. I don't want to do that. The creator who has created me sees where I am. If he wants to save me, he'll save me. If he doesn't want to save me. That's another state of mind. Bardam wa salama. The fire was made cold and in a place where the coldness was not that. If it was too cold, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would have died. To that temperature which was comforting for Hazrat Ibrahim. Why should I leave that God? Why should I attach myself to these demigods, these creations of man and mine? The message of Karbala is very clear. The sacrifice of Imam Hussein can only be given if there is an Almighty. Nobody would sacrifice their child, a 6 months baby, for the sake of money or anything. They would never have a 6 months child suffering for 3 days, dehydrated with the skin color changing to yellow and eyes going inside of her skull, to watch him suffer that way. Where he had become lifeless. Hazrat Ali Asghar had become lifeless. He didn't even have the strength to cry. The reason why Imam Hussein became very surprised when Hazrat Ali Asghar started to move in his hands. The movement was described by Imam Hussein as a fish out of water. He wasn't expecting that movement from Hazrat Ali Asghar. And when he looked and the arrow was there, and the blood was gushing, Imam Zaman says salam to Imam Hussein's beard that got red because of the blood of Hazrat Ali. We cannot imagine. If you any time you see a 6 months baby, try to look at their neck. Look at their neck. Hazrat Ali Asghar was 6 months. And the neck being severed. And the blood coming up. This blood that was coming out was going in his throat. Imam Hussain said, it was the most difficult time for me. But why was it difficult? He narrates it after to Imam Sajjad. He says, it was really difficult. I remembered my Shias at that time. Why? That if my Shias were with me, that time he remembered anyone who follows the path of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what bigger honor do you or I need? We say to him, As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah, if you follow his path, he has sent salam to you and I first. It was because of him not having his Shias. It was because the ones who called themselves, who sent the letters to Imam Hussain were in the army of the enemy of Allah. Imam Hussain's heart bled. In all of this difficult time, look where the strength came from for Imam Hussain. He looked up, he said, "Oh Allah, this is easy for me. Why? Because I know you're watching me. It doesn't have his Shias. It doesn't have support. This little baby is bleeding. He sends a salam to his Shias that if you were there, you would have been my support. You don't listen to that call. I don't listen to that call. The daughters of the Prophet, just two sentences. Bring your mother in your mind. Right? I'll bring my mother, you bring your mother in your mind. Yeah, I hope your mother has a hijab on her head. I hope. Bring your mother in your mind with the hijab on her head, and then somebody coming and taking a spear, and with that spear snatching off that. Can you bear it? Can you bear it? Bi abi anta wa ummi. My father and mother be sacrificed for you. You cannot bear it? This happened to the Sani Zahra. This happens to the second Fatima. The chadar that was snatched was chadar of Bibi Fatima. Can you imagine somebody putting ropes in the arms of your mother? No? No, you can't imagine? These ropes that were put in the arms of Bibi Zainab, they were part of that one rope that was being dragged the whole time. They were made to put on camels. Bibi Sakina was made to put on camels. These camels were running fast. If you have a 3-year-old daughter, bring her in that place. Her hands are tied with the rope. And that camel is running and Bibi Sakina falls down. The camel doesn't stop, it keeps on running. You know how many bruises you would get? You know how much your skin would be scraped? It happened to Bibi Sakina. But all of this, why? All of this, why? So that shape and form of Islam can be protected that the Holy Prophet brought. Let go of all that you have attached yourself to and me. Let go of it. These difficulties are the motivators. These tears that you've cried, make a promise. Change yourself. Change the world you and I have created. Oh Allah, give us the opportunity to become the true followers and friends of our Imam. May he come as soon as possible. Give us the wisdom and courage to stand for the ideology and the light of Islam.
Salame Kabeye Delha Hussain Jah Salame Sham Emma Felha Hussain Jah Nam 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 Salame
Oh!
حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین